The gospel reading from Luke chapter 15, beginning to read at the first verse. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What a difference a week makes. Last Sunday, we listened to some very hard words of Jesus in Luke's 14th chapter. Jesus warned the crowds traveling with him that they should count the cost before committing themselves to follow him, because his way was hard and costly. He said, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow cannot be my disciple. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up your possessions." You can imagine that many turned away. But in our reading today, Jesus seems to have some good news for us. There is joy and gladness in today's gospel reading. There are no warnings about the cost of discipleship or the consequences of bad behavior. No one is sent away for failing the test of discipleship. It's all about God's love, especially for those who seem the least worthy. Jesus gives us in this 15th chapter of Luke a trilogy of parables, stories about a lost sheep, a lost coin that we read, and then there follows that familiar story of the lost son, which we often refer to as the prodigal son. But maybe the focus shouldn't be so much on the condition of being lost as on the joy of being found. In the first parable, we're told about a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. He does what we would expect of any ordinary shepherd, to go out and look for the sheep that has become lost. But wait a minute. This shepherd does something rather extraordinary. He leaves his other 99 sheep exposed in the wilderness. He puts them at risk and goes after that one lost sheep that has become lost. That must have been some special sheep. And he doesn't give up his search when he's out there for hours after hour, but he continues the search until he finds that lost sheep. And when he finds it, it doesn't seem to bother him that this sheep has caused him so much grief. to be angry, to be upset. He's just overjoyed. And then he goes to the expense of throwing a party to celebrate. This was no ordinary shepherd. Most of us probably wouldn't do so much to find a lost sheep. Well, of course, Jesus told this story to illustrate God's extraordinary love, especially for those who stray, for those who lose their way in life. And so also, the woman in the second parable, she turns her house upside down just to find one lost coin. And she too acts like the shepherd and throws a party. Can you imagine retrieving a lost coin and calling all your friends and neighbors to celebrate? Last week, Una lost one of my socks in the laundry. It was from one of my favorite pair of socks. She looked and looked. Finally, she went down back to the laundry room and found it in the washing machine. And I suggested we call our friends to have a party and celebrate. She just stared at me with a puzzled look. She didn't know what I was talking about while I was studying this parable. God seems to go a bit overboard when it comes to finding people who are lost, who have lost their way. Now, Luke frames these two parables, plus the third that follows about the lost son, by telling us that Jesus told these stories to two audiences. There were the tax collectors who were coming to listen to Jesus, and then there were the Pharisees and scribes who were looking in on Jesus, maybe looking through the window and grumbling about Jesus, this rabbi, keeping company with such sinners and even eating with them. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus told them these parables. But he doesn't tell us who them is. Is he talking to the sinners, the alleged bad company with whom Jesus was sitting at table? Or did he tell these stories for the benefit of the grouchy Pharisees who were outside looking in, finding fault with Jesus? Well, I suspect it was both. But how differently these parables must have sounded to these two groups. The sinners with whom Jesus was eating no doubt heard these stories as good news. People looked down on them as lost causes. Their lives were messed up. Tax collecting was not a popular vocation with the people. People told them not only that they would never be good enough to receive the blessings of God's kingdom, but I think many of them actually believed it. Pretty low self-esteem. So when Jesus tells about the joy in heaven when the lost have been found, these sinners must have felt glad. But these parables sounded very different to the Pharisees. The joy in the story wasn't over their goodness and righteousness, but over those lost sinners being found. I wonder sometimes which set of ears we use when we listen to these stories of God's grace and love. Does the gospel sound wonderful to us only when we see ourselves as recipients of God's grace? Or can we also rejoice when we see others caught up in God's love, even those others who are not very much like us, who we sometimes look down upon as kind of lost causes? But if we can feel real joy over the salvation of others, is it not because when you get right down to it, we are all sinners? We are all sinners saved by grace, lifelong members of the church, and newly saved people from the street, drug addicts, those who have been in prison. conservative Christians with high moral standards, and more liberal folks who seem all too willing to compromise with the world and its standards. We all need the same amount of grace to be saved. If you think about it, were it not for the wonderful grace of God, we would be lost sheep in danger of dying alone in one of life's many wildernesses. There, but for the grace of God, go I. But when we properly understand that we all need God's grace, it's much easier to get in on the joy of seeing others found. When I first studied these parables, they seemed rather straightforward, which, if you lost a sheep, you would go looking for it. Sure, I'd do that. And which of you, if you lost a valuable coin, would not try to find it? Sure, we'd all do that. But as we read more closely, we come to appreciate the extraordinary effort that went into finding the lost. Imagine a shepherd leaving 99 sheep unattended in the wilderness at risk while he goes searching for the lost one. Almost irresponsible. This goes far beyond a reasonable search and rescue. And would any reasonable person go to all the trouble of turning their house upside down, sweeping the floor, turning over the couches, trying to find that one lost coin? I believe that Jesus is making the point that none of us would go to such lengths nor celebrate so extravagantly. We profess this extraordinary love of God each time we say the Apostles' Creed. God sent his Son, who went so far as to suffer and die for our sins. That's sacrifice. We even profess that our Lord descended into hell for us. Some churches don't say that phrase, but we've left it in. And I've never really figured out what that means, except that from very early times, the church said that Jesus, between his death and his resurrection, descended into hell. He went to that place which was as far as anyone could go away from God. Maybe that means that no matter how far we stray, God in Christ is able to reach us. Some have even said that based on a passage in 1 Peter that Jesus descended into hell to rescue those who had died before his incarnation. He proclaimed the gospel to the spirits in prison, as it says in 1 Peter. In any case, this is the extravagant grace of God. No matter how lost we are, no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how separated we might feel from God, we can never be lost. Jesus' life demonstrates that there are no limits beyond which he will go to find us and save us and bring us home. Well, it feels good to be here together on this back to church Sunday, to be gathered together as God's flock. We belong. I'm sure many of you could bear testimony to how important it has been for you to be a member of this congregation. How much better it is to be gathered here with this flock rather than to be alone somewhere or lost or confused or trying to live life on our own. We're here together. We have a sense that we have been found, that we are cared for, that we are loved. But as we come together in church, we are also here to be strengthened and renewed so that we can follow Jesus out, to reach out to those who have lost their way, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring good news of forgiveness and peace to those who might think of themselves as unworthy. We meet those people in school, at our job, in our neighborhood, other groups or activities that we're part of. Yes, God loves to see us here, his flock gathered each Sunday, but he also cares passionately for those who aren't here. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, those who are forgotten or overlooked, those who have given up in life, those who feel unworthy. Those are the ones that Jesus heads out to look for, and so should we. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.